and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I feel like that's really quiet. Is that really only quiet to me, or is that...
When you turn it down, it is.
No, but my voice.
It does seem quiet.
It does
could
seem
be
quiet?
Because we're in a super dead room.
Is it? Maybe that's what it is.
We're
is
in
that,
the future.
I wonder. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's why I keep having to turn this up. I have not used the other mixer while not in this room. That maybe that's why I have to keep turning things up, because it's such a dead room and there is no echo in here.
By dead room, we mean not my study in my house.
Right.
Or the iPod in the dining room, as we used to do.
Right. Can we call this the Gamerland Studios? Is that fair to say?
I think this is Gamerland.
Gamerland, just period.
We are in Gamerland.
In order
right
to call it Gamerland, though, I feel like I need a 46-inch LED TV and every console known to man in the corner.
Yes.
And
you
I
do.
Just I can't swing that right now. Eventually, this was my wife's plan with this space, was that this would be where all the video games would be played. She's gently trying to move the video games out of the house.
She is crazy because you have children. And they're both boys, so there will always be video games.
I think
games
this is just
room
part of her long-term plan. She's got Machiavellian tactics, and she's trying to push all of us out of her house to do all of the boy activities.
It
elsewhere
won't happen. Yeah, we're really low.
Really low?
Right. Yeah.
Well, here's on the thing. Oh, we're good.
All right. Well, then who cares?
I mean, but as long as...
So we're clear. Up. Justin built a studio
sort
in
of
his new house. What do you mean, sort of? What more... You have how many? 6,000 panels of foam on the walls.
Ooh,
here?
That's a good question.
I
have
added up.
I have about more than 300 square feet of acoustic foam.
Yeah.
No, wait. That's could
that
be
can't
wrong.
Be, that can't be right.
Yeah, that's not right. So let's see. High. I bought three.
Math is hard.
So that's. Oh, this is math is really hard, especially when you've had tequila.
You've only had one shot.
I've got at least almost 300. I think it's like 200 something square feet.
Square feet.
Yeah.
It's are they 9-inch
well,
panels?
See, they're each are a foot. So 1, 2,
that's
3,
a foot?
4, 5, 6 behind you.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
this
9,
is great
10,
radio.
11.
Okay.
So 6 times 11, that's 66. Times 2 over there, although it's going to be even more over there.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's the same over there.
Okay, math is hard.
So 120.
It's 132.
132. 36?
Yep.
Yep. All right, yeah. And then maybe, okay, not even close to 200. You're right.
I know.
So maybe 150 square feet.
Still.
I really wish I hadn't have done the math, because that would make the expense of it a little bit easier to swallow. But
so that's 100. So when I rent an apartment for 100 square feet in New York and it costs me $2,000,
yeah,
I get the same layout as the amount
you
of foam tiles.
You could only exist on the walls.
Yeah. It has been forever since
yes,
we've
it
done
has.
The show.
In fact, I've messed up our whole intro just so we don't get any nerd rage.
Because
hello,
people care.
And welcome to Gamerland Podcast. This is episode 527. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the mathematician. It has been said that easy math was nothing to him.
Man, you were. We are rusty. We are rusty. You've been doing other shows, though.
I did one other show.
I want to, before we get into why there hasn't been any shows and all the awesome things we've been doing. Oh. There's, you want to take a shot to that?
Yeah, right now. I'm going to wait till you're done
with the story.
I've derailed this enough.
No more derailing.
Yeah.
Take a shot every time a word with the letter T is said in
geez
it. So far, we are good. Okay. Here we go. Never mind. So I got the Red Ring of Death.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Justin is giving me his console.
Yes.
And I plugged my hard drive into it, much to my joy. That works. Like, the hard drive is its own brain.
You didn't even have to pull out mine. You just plugged it in?
Yeah, no, I just plugged your console in, and my information was on it. It was the weirdest thing.
I meant, like, you didn't have to swap the hard... Like, you know how to have USB on the back. You could just plug your hard drive
you pull
in
the USB. You pull the hard drive off from the back of the Xbox, and I just swap, like... It's like
it
different body...
It out. Like, it just slides out?
It unclicks.
Uh-huh.
Well, later I didn't
like
know.
Most of our listeners may not know this, but remember the old decks in the 80s and 90s that like you had a pull out deck on your car that you would carry around like a man purse? No, you don't remember?
Oh, yes. Yeah. A
Does
stereo.
It work like that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. It clicks on the front. Yeah. The old MP3 players or No, they were mini discs. Yeah. That was like 15 years ago.
Longer, I think.
So I thought I had it all set. It was all good. No, it was like 15. Stop. So I had it was all set. I was playing your Xbox, my hard drive.
Yeah.
And my son went up and tried to. He loves to touch the light on the front of the power thing. And
why
I pulled
wouldn't
it. And I was like, don't do it. And I pushed it back. And I didn't know that I hadn't put the hard drive all the way back inside the Xbox. And I restarted it. And even though I hadn't saved enough, everything I had done that morning in Halo 4 was I was so angry. I later did it again. It turns out it's fun. So it didn't matter that I had to do it.
So
twice.
How many times have you played through from the beginning then?
Yeah, 9. Wow. No, just the one time because the hard drive works. So, thank you for your Xbox.
You're welcome.
And fans of the show may not know how great a friend I have in Justin Worsham and the Worshams in general. Justin has given the Millers access to his Amazon Prime account, so we get free 2-day shipping. We get free movies on Amazon Prime. We get free Netflix. You feed us all the time when we're there, so you're a very generous person. I want our fans to know. So I wrote a check.
Deal.
No, it's an amazing deal. It's not a big deal, but it's a great deal. It's a great deal for me.
Yeah, I'm not writing. I'm not taking any check.
It's a check for the Xbox.
No, I'm giving you that too.
No, you're
I don't
see,
know.
That's my point. This is a check for $100 for the Xbox.
No,
listen to me.
No,
wait. You have to listen because we're on air. So you have to. Why do you think I waited till now?
Pause?
You can't. You can't. I've taped it down. So this is a check for $100, not because I think that the Xbox is worth $100 or an attempt to make us even.
Okay.
I want you to know that I appreciate all that you do for us, and this is my way of saying thank you.
Well, I can't take that, buddy.
Yes, you can.
I was gonna. Here's the thing. You and I have not had a chance to talk about this.
That's why I did this on air. So
I was
you can't.
In the middle of moving.
So next topic.
When you said, "Hey, can I use your Xbox
right,
or whatever?"
Right.
Or you told me yours Xbox crapped out.
Yeah.
I said, "Just come take mine." And I foolishly said, just give me what you think is fair for it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then you came back and said, I think $60 or something like that.
Yeah, which is way underballing you.
No, it's not.
I undered your balls.
I don't think so.
Ah.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Really? No, that's the first time.
I got him on board.
The but feature
since
is now.
Here, you know, it's awkward. But no. And so then I was like, what am I doing? Who cares? Just take it. I never use it. So just take it. I'm not taking this check.
Take the check, though.
No,
I wrote
it's
you
fine.
A check for it. Do you understand that I appreciate you?
Yes, I understand.
And that you've been very generous. You make my wife and I dinners. You buy dinner all the time for us.
Yeah.
You do so
well,
many things.
Well, that might change now that I have a mortgage. So
all right.
Just
all
keep
right.
that in your scrapbook.
we'll bring things to grill.
Of yesteryear, I remember a time. Well, grilling is not a problem. I'm
We're
just saying
really
when
good
we go
at
out
burgers.
To a restaurant or something
yeah,
like that,
but you,
it's not
see,
like
here's
Daddy
the thing.
Can go, I get it.
I come over to do these podcast nights, and you're like, we'll do dinner. And so instead of like making a dinner, which still costs money, but it's easy to roll somebody into a family dinner, you'll go out and buy me a dinner that's a takeout
but
dinner.
But that's not out of kindness to you. That's just because I get lazy.
It's
because
the same thing,
the
but I can pay for my own dinner.
I know
you
can, but I don't know.
Listen, I'm a famous celebrity.
You're right. That's also true. That's true.
People,
all right, I'm taking this check.
There it is. Put that on your wall. Glue it and hide it behind.
Oh. Then we could play like Oprah, and if some like, oh, that would be a fun game.
There you go.
If we could ever get guests on this,
I'll write another check with no name in it.
I'm keeping it.
Okay.
I'm not giving it to the guests. I'm saying we hide it behind one of the acoustic foam tiles, and then they choose which one. And then we pull out and go, oh, nope, that wasn't
that
the
wasn't
one.
It. And what do they win if they find the
check?
They don't
the win check? Anything. They win the joy of helping me get $100.
So only if they pick the right tile square will you cash
will
the check.
Will I cash the check?
Oh, all right. I'm game with
all
this
right,
game.
Do I
get to choose the square or do you?
I don't know. I think it's better if none of us know, which means that we would have to get some kind of third party
involved. No, that's
involved.
True. Yeah, we'll call your wife.
Well, the other here's the problem too is that all of these are held on with spray adhesive, so it would ruin the check. So I might even backpedal on my own stupid game. So you have finished Halo 4 then? Did you sense that I got tired of talking about me not taking?
I could see it. Yeah, it was happening. No, I did not finish it yet. Where am I in that game? Is it safe to talk about? That's a pretty old game,
why not?
Right? Spoilers.
Yeah.
People hate spoilers.
Who hates spoilers?
Everybody.
Really?
Yes. There's the spoiler armada. They will find you in your sleep and spoil you for spoiling the movie.
I feel like if somebody, if I'm listening to a video game podcast.
No, that's not true. You would think that, but we've had people that get angry. Remember when we had the cast, the develop, we had Matt Kramer and, yeah. I don't want to call him Tracy.
But didn't we clearly put it in the description?
We said it several times, and they still got mad. You can't expect to talk to the developer and not have him talk freely about the game. That's just not going to happen.
That's not mad.
But people are still like,
if you sent I or Kevin an email or a message
on Facebook
about the spoilers in Sly 4, unsubscribe.
It seems fair to
Please
me.
Please unsubscribe. I want you to find another podcast.
And
to,
also stop being a jerk. And break your iPod.
No, please be a jerk to somebody else.
Oh, that's fair.
I'm saying unsubscribe, and and I will refund you your money
that you haven't put any money on.
Out of this money right here.
There it is, $100. We can refund 50 people thanks to this check. The E3 is what we need to talk about. Because at E3 was Halo 9 or whatever they're on now. 5. Oh. Halo 5. It's coming to the Xbox One. I mean,
I didn't feel like this was going to be an ongoing thing, and now I feel like it is. Am I wrong on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I never felt like it was intended to be.
Listen, fool. Halo makes how much money?
I know, but.
Why would they not make. It's why George Lucas is the worst businessman on the planet.
I'm listening.
I don't even understand how it took Disney to say, you realize this company is worth $40 billion, right?
I only need four.
If you churned out a movie every 3 years, which you're capable of doing, you could own part of the Southern Hemisphere.
If you keep talking, I'm going to make it 3.5.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas.
Do you realize, Mr. Walt Disney, how cheap flannel is? I don't even buy razors. Okay?
It's true.
So, I'm good.
Also, there are Ewoks that live in this forest.
Yeah. You realize I have 1978 lunchboxes that are worth what I just sold this company to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's like, he just has to sign something and sell it. Poor George Lucas gets the hardest rap.
Ooh, that's interesting. How much would the contract that he signed with Disney be worth?
Oh,
somebody bought that on eBay?
I feel like that somebody discussed that is worth something.
Yeah, that. I feel like that's worth probably a quarter of a mil. Like, if you had the original copy of the contract.
How much is the Constitution worth? Can you buy that? Like, can I get that and put that in my private museum?
Yeah, I think
I'm
you
a
can.
Celebrity.
It's
I'm
the
famous.
Whole point of the Constitution is that we live in a free country,
right?
It's
and justice is blind. That chick is blind. She's kind of hot.
That's
too.
What the Constitution is based on: for us, by us, isn't it?
Yeah. No. I think that's a supermarket. So anyway, a million years ago, I went to E3.
Yeah, that's how we cover E3 on this show. But I decided to buy a house to delay our on the cutting edge. Coverage.
Well,
we
moved at my day job as well, so it's not like either of us been super busy. Oddly enough, nobody's been begging us for shows.
Really?
There hasn't been a huge clamoring. Where are the shows?
I think it's because sometimes we get a little angry, and our listeners are very kind.
You think?
Yeah, I think that they realize that this isn't our job, and that it's more of a hobby for us.
That's good for me to remember.
They can't afford. Or maybe not afford isn't a fair term, but maybe I think we have a lot of younger listeners that it would be hard pressed for them to try and find a way to pay for this and do the $2.
Nah, they could. They got disposable incomes. So anyway, this is water.
Water. The way the body wants it.
it's what plants crave. my iPod's on. Okay. So at E3, if you hadn't noticed, one of the first things I posted was that I got hot dog from the line at Skylanders. So,
The Skylander hot dog.
Yeah. Not a hot dog. I got a hot dog for lunch.
I was like, I don't remember this picture.
It was so good. No, so I went on Wednesday just because I was in the area and I wanted to check it out for the last few hours, but they had closed the giveaway line. And so I was able to scope it out, and they're like, yeah, we'll have more tomorrow. Come by tomorrow. And it's a unique color-bending character called Hot Dog. So the paint is different depending on what angle you look at it. One angle, he's gold, like bright gold. And another angle, he's like crimson.
I love it.
It's beautiful. And it's great because that character that I own was broken by Jeremy Carso. It's the same one that he dropped on his floor. broke his little tail. So So I get there on that Thursday morning and make a beeline for the Skylander thing, and then I hear people describe that you get a 1 in 4 chance that you'll be able to win the Skylander. So people are like, okay, there's 4 of us in this line, so we're guaranteed to get one and stuff. And then we all get up to the front, and it's in. Everybody gets 1 spin on a wheel. So it's not like 4, like everybody spins the wheel and 1 person gets it. Every time there's a 1 in 4 chance of somebody getting this thing. And it's Skylanders Swap Force.
Which is not better odds. That's worse.
It's worse odds. Yeah, it's absolutely
not my thing on this episode or life.
It's absolutely worse odds because, I mean, in the long run, it probably averages out to the same.
Yeah.
But it does not guarantee a group of people a win. You can have 20 people in a row not win by that math. So we get up there and it's a Swap Force character and you have to spin the wheel and the bottom has to match the top in order for you to win. And when you win, it goes ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And when you lose, it goes wah-wah.
Oh, losing sound effect.
So it was lose, lose, lose. And then I finally get up and the thing was so heavy. I go to spin it because I'd watched somebody like figured it out. If I hit it like this, it's going to go do-do-do-do-do-do and go right into it. And so I was like, no, I'm just going to spin it.
As hard as you can.
As hard as I can. And it was super heavy. Like, I was prepared to spin it as hard as I could, and it maybe went around 1.5 times.
Really?
Like, it was like, oh! And it was like, ow! That hurt! Mirror, mirror, mirror. Wah, wah. So I walk away. And then I go and check out some other exhibits, and I resolve myself, okay, this just isn't going to happen. I'm just not going to get this character. And I go and check out some other stuff and go and play DuckTales.
Is this an exclusive to E3 character?
Only at E3. And there's another toy event that you can get it. You can buy it on eBay for $100. But other than that, this is the only place that you're going to get it. And I got one last year, so I got the Chrome Spyro.
Now, did you get the Chrome Spyro because you threw your Sly Cooper fame around?
No, I just walked up and they happened to be they didn't have a contest the previous year. They were holding on to them, and on the last day they were just giving them out free to anybody. And so people were begging them from. I think I told the story where I kind of geeked out on them and then over geeked, and they're like, "Just take the stupid thing, get out of here."
Oh.
So, so this year, so I went around and I was like, "I'm not doing it." And then I was like, "Well, okay, well before lunch I'll just go back one more time." And thank God I won the second time because I'm pretty sure I would have just kept coming back and been like, "One more time, one more time." It takes like 20 minutes to get through the line because it's wrapped all the way around the Activision booth. While you go by it, you get to see this 3D or this panoramic theater that they have set up that has Diablo stuff and all this other great things. But even that's like, okay, let's move along. So the second time I get up there, Richard Horvitz is getting his own Hot Dog Skylander. He's in the game. He's in a ton of different games. You would recognize him as Invader Zim from Nickelodeon. He was in...
Who does he play in Skylander?
He plays Chaos.
That's
he's,
what I
he's the bad
okay,
guy, yeah. And he was in... what's the other... big notable thing that he was on. Oh, he was on Aliens Destroy All Humans or Destroy All Humans back in the day. So, but he's in a ton of projects. And so he was there hanging out and he got his Skylander.
Was he recognized?
By me.
Nobody else, though.
Not the general public. Yeah. Like, I knew, I couldn't identify him because I hadn't seen his face more than just pictures right off the bat, but I could tell by the way he was behaving, and there's just a look in the eye that very successful voiceover actors have. I don't know how to do, I'm not, I don't have
is
that
it like
look.
This?
Yeah, that's it. There's just something about, because I don't know what it is, it's just the texture of their skin because they eat nothing but filet mignon. And they're always doing characters. Everything they say is a character. Yeah. And so he was making a fuss, and I was like, oh, that's him. But he was just out of comfortable talking distance, and I was in a line. So it had been like, hey, okay, all right, never mind. And I regretted not getting to introduce myself. But I get up to the front, and I go to reach for the wheel to spin it. And in my head, I'm like, okay, am I going to try to do a tactic this time? I know how much it weighs. I see where it is. I know how many positions away. And I was like, you know what? You're never going to be able to outthink this wheel. Just spin it. And sure enough, I rank it down, and it goes all the way around. And I watch the guy that needs to match up with blow by. And I was like, oh, well, there it goes. And sure enough, ding, 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 ding. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. Yeah. What
and
did you
I
do?
Literally go, yeah! And the little, like...
Did everybody laugh?
cute model. No, they, because like people in the line are just jealous, and everybody else is playing a video game and not caring. And the only people watching me are the little hot models that could care less about the, like, they just look cute and they're holding these things. They're like, here you go. And she's like, here. I was like, thanks.
Such a weird, that's why I'm looking forward again to us going to Comic-Con later this week, is it's such a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
One part of, like, it's, there's an aspect of behind the scenes worlds colliding where you have these model babes that are just,
well,
they...
to that end, like, I go over to Nintendo, and every year I've been to Nintendo's booth, it's the same story, where they, for some reason, hire PR people to demo their games. So they come in on Monday because the show starts on Tuesday, and they learn the game. So somebody from their PR department, you know, describes the game,
these...
and says, here are some,
when you say PR
questions.
People, like events and promotions, the same way like you would hire Coors Light girls to
show exactly. Okay. So it's but it's like normal people. It's not hot babes necessarily.
Oh,
it's just
events and promotions.
Yeah, it's just people like you and I, and they probably also do catering events and that kind of thing. But they and a lot of them are actors or some sort of model. But they're not the booth babe girls that are a lot of booths from here to there, or like the girls over at Skylanders.
They were toys for Bob, those chicks.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Nice. You're right. Wow. I've never put that together. So I go up and I start to ask questions, and I'm playing Donkey Kong Country. It's called Frozen Tropic or something. Mm-hmm. And so there's no frozenness anywhere in the game at all. Like, I'm playing this whole level, and halfway through I go, so why is it called Tropical Freeze? That's the name of the game, because it sounds like a drink at 7-Eleven. And she goes, well, as you can see, we're in the jungle, so that's the tropical part. I go, uh-huh, got that. And she's like, and, you know, I don't know the rest of it. And so I start to ask more questions, and I'm like, you know less about this game than Wikipedia, because you were dumped information, and you're just trying to regurgitate things. So later, after the show is over, E3 sends you, you know, what did you think, how was it thing. And I was fine and talked all about it. I mentioned I would love that there were more food trucks within walking distance of the thing. But then I was like, you know what would be great is if all the vendors would put people that actually know and care about their games. Because you walk over to Sony's booth, and I had a question about a PS Vita game that was just this little indie game. And I asked the PlayStation rep, who a lot of times they'll like get somebody that's an IT guy, or they'll just get somebody that works in the company to help man the floor, because it's a lot of man hours and it takes a lot of people. But I asked a question, and he goes, oh, you know, I don't know. The developer is right over there. Let me get him for it. And I was like, oh, no. I was just making conversation. Please don't bother him. That's okay. Because rightly so, they don't know who I am. Yeah. I could be an exec for, you know, Northwestern chain of gamer stores. They want to answer my questions. And so I really appreciated that kind of level of attention and people that are passionate about their games. The thing that's fun about E3 is that you get to talk to people who build games and love games and want to talk to you about their creation and get to show it off. And you go over to Nintendo, and for whatever reason, you can't tell me. I mean, we have Mio, who was an intern over at Nintendo. You're going to tell me they don't have squads of people that would intern with them for the summer and be like, I will go to E3 and answer every question for free.
Jeremy Schutz would do that.
Would do it for free to be there on the floor and just watch people play Pikmin all day. And to be fair, I then went and played Pikmin 3, and the guy that was there was clearly super – like, he was coaching me through it. He's like, okay, this is my top score. You're going to beat it. Here we go. You're like, no, not good enough. We're going to replay right now. I was like, guy, I got to – okay. Yes, sir.
I got to go lose to Skyland.
I'm going to give it away. I'm gonna double down. I went 2-for-1. So that was probably the only negative experience that I had the whole time. That being said, Nintendo, for the first time, I walked out of E3 for the first time since the GameCube and thought, you know what, I think I want a Nintendo.
Oh, I want a Wii U.
I want to get a Wii U. I mean, number one, the price has dropped significantly. Mm-hmm. To the library of games has picked up great. I mean, Tropic 3's Freeze looks fantastic. It's a lot of fun to play a little Donkey Kong game. Pikmin is great. And then you get the whole catalog of games from, you know, 20 years ago when we were playing games, right? You play all the Super Mario Brothers games. There's a new Yoshi game coming out. And with having the boy, I was like, this seems like something very quickly within the next 2 years, he'll be able to pick up the Wii wand and be able to play that far before he's going to be able to play an Xbox or a PlayStation game. So it seemed to attract me. Meanwhile, the Xbox One, especially after getting the Red Ring of Death and their unwillingness to do anything about it, it made me realize there's nothing on the Xbox One other than maybe a Halo game that makes me think I'll be picking up the Xbox One anytime soon.
Yeah, and I did that. That's the whole reason why I was like, I didn't sell my Xbox because I really like Gears of War.
Yeah.
And it's funny.
You can come over and play it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it's funny how you kind of get over stuff.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if it's our age. I don't know, or if it's just a part of reality, but like I realized that there's so many games that I enjoy playing other than Gears of War that I'm like, I'm not,
I'm okay.
Not to make this a PlayStation podcast. It just seems to be the consoles that, that you and I are drawn to.
Absolutely.
But to go back to your point,
that's
about
if it's a PlayStation console.
Yeah, who cares? to go back to what you were saying about the Wii U, is that what's the Wii Wand, is that what's interesting is that Jacob learned
Wiimote,
to play.
Excuse me.
Sorry, my bad.
I started it.
You suck.
Here's $100.
Thank you. Worth every penny. He learned to play on a PlayStation controller, and then when he went to grandma's house, he was playing on the Wii remote, and it broke his brain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like,
he couldn't point it at the screen.
Yeah, he just didn't understand that aspect of it. Where to you and I think it seems like it's more simple, more intuitive. But I think it's whatever part of your brain you use to learn to play video games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he's a tender age of 4. I still have a problem with the Wii Wand. Like playing Pikmin just for that 10, 15 minutes hurt my wrist. Having to angle it just so and get it precisely.
Well, that's why I bought Skylanders for PlayStation. Yeah. Because it's easier for him to play on the PlayStation, especially with Skylanders, because you got to hold two. Like, you got to have both of them. And
it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't hate it, but as I've always felt, content is the thing that drives you to a console.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I was impressed with the Nintendo's library at this point and feeling like there's reasons to get it. And I've seen some great games and things that you can do with the Wii U pad, which I mean, it's a giant hunk of plastic, but it's kind of fun and things you added little elements within it. That being said, I did download, they had a Little Big Planet sale recently on the Vita store and the PlayStation store. Did you pick up anything?
No.
They had two things. They had a dinosaur, Sackboy's PlayStation Move, a Dinosaur Village. So you get to play tandem with that. So somebody's on the move and then with their move wand, and then someone's playing Sackboy. And then if I'm playing Sackboy, you move things out of the way for me or move things so I can jump on.
That's cool.
So it's really cool, very fun. And it was only like $2. But the really great thing is the Vita integration to this whole additional levels for Little Big Planet 2. So as long as you have Little Big Planet Vita and Little Big Planet 2, you play this adventure that mashes the two universes together. So you're on this like prison planet in space, and there are all these prisoners and stuff, and so they're like, we need to escape from the space prison, and you're helping them escape, and then you look down at the screen. At points, they're like, there's an object here that you can't see, but you look down at the screen and there's a 3D, like a wireframe model of the same area. You can see objects there that you can't see on the screen.
Oh.
And so you tap it and then it makes them show up briefly and then go away. So that's a great, like, it makes the screen on the Vita this cool additional button pad.
Yeah, because it has that thing where you could use your Vita as a controller.
Right, so that's...
I'm like, why would I want to do that?
That's what this is. You're holding the Vita the entire time playing with it. So, and then there's some other little things where you look down at the screen and kind of put a puzzle together and it does it. But the best... I was so surprised that I found it entertaining. So I'm playing the game, and then they're like, okay, you have to leave the space station, go into space, and walk around the space station to get back inside. Go through this door and do it, and sure enough, you leave the screen and end up on the Vita screen. So you play for a little while on the Vita, and then go back inside the space station on
cool.
the screen.
That is cool.
I'm like, okay, that's pretty great. So for a little while, I'm on the Vita, and then I go back. I'm like, that's pretty clever.
Yeah, because I got you. I think you sent me a game invite. You're like, hey, you want to play Little Big Planet?
Yeah.
Or something like that on the Vita.
Yeah, I'm trying to get you back into that because that's a solid game. Those Little Big Planet games are the bee's knees, as the kids are saying.
I finally charged my Vita and because I realized that I could do the thing that I had been doing at the previous house where I would watch the TV shows that my wife and I watched together because she's not always in the mood to watch them at night or whatever, and I have a little bit of free time during the day while I'm waiting for Jack to go to sleep or something. And so I realized that, I could be playing my Vita games. And I played, I don't think I talked about it on the show, I finished Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah. You did discuss that.
Oh, and I didn't save enough of the people, so I
oh, died. No, you didn't mention that.
Yeah, I finished it, but I did. I saved like eight two little Mudokons or whatever, Madonkins. And so it kills me. And so I'm like, there's a part of me that's like, oh, I want to go back and figure that out. And then there's another part of me like, damn you. Like,
I have better things to do with my life.
Yeah. And I was like, ah, you know, but then I haven't touched the Vita, but I think a nice break would, I still have that little big planet for the Vita. Oh, my wife's coming to do dishes. That's creepy.
That was really creepy. Yeah. There's a window facing his backyard, and apparently the only place to do dishes is in
Yeah, we don't have a kitchen yet at my house.
We have to build it.
Yeah, it's coming this week, though. Should have it by the end of this week.
I can't wait. Yeah. I'm going to come over and do dishes.
It might be put in while we're at Comic-Con.
Oh, Comic-Con. Yeah. The exciting thing that I saw at Xbox, the Microsoft booth, the only thing that I was like, oh, this would be a good reason to buy an Xbox One, is a free game called Project Sparks. Have you seen it at all? It's a very much create your own universe kind of game, which is really popular right now with Disney's Infinity and the like. And this, you can make anything. I have no better way to put it. They have this very whimsical world that you can design just about anything, like in Minecraft, but it's so much more cartoony based, and it's like real objects. And it was so complicated that you walk up there and they demo the game for you. Like, they play the game and you watch and they tell you what you're doing and they let you make choices. But I mean, the detail to the level of like, grab this thing, move this thing here. If I had picked it up, I would have been like, I couldn't have mastered
aneurysm.
It. Yeah. Within 5 minutes. But so
your tongue.
Why? So we walked in. He's like, okay, we're going to make this kind of level. What kind of level do you want? And they've got like snow levels and desert levels and forest. And I was like, let's see some Route 66 desert action. So he builds this whole like desert thing. He's like, how about an oasis here? And he builds a little oasis, and then he patches in some trees and he makes some different stuff. And then he's like, so it was like, so what's the point? Like, this looks great. And he's like, well, I'm so glad you asked. he's like, well, we can do anything. He's like, I can put bad guys down. You can adjust their behavior. Do they attack you? Do they get you? And I was like, and he's like, but everything within the game is editable. And he's like, check this rock out. So a rock was populated when he laid down these textures and just naturally created this rock. He's like, okay, we're going to click this rock and we're going to animate it. And he made it like follow you. So when you get close enough, the rock will start following you. But it kind of like slid on the ground. He's like, so that looks like it's a weird magnet and it's not very impressive. He's like, so let's change it to roll. So there's a bunch of different type of animated features. And now we walked up to it and it just started following, like rolling end over end, trying to chase us down on this map.
Wow.
And that was just something, I mean, he just chose it at random, that one thing he was able to edit. So he built this whole universe. He's like, so we've got some different templates in here, and it had a little Big Planet kind of elements to it. They're like, we've got a flying game template, we got a side scroller element template into it, it's an anything builder. You could build a game with specific rules, make an RPG, make an action fighter, make a side scroller. You can just make an adventure story. You could replay scenes, but the tools were so accessible. That it, like, because you can play, like, I remember back in the day, Warcraft 3 had an editor that you could build maps and then tell stories with or rebuild the games, but it was borderline coding. It took so much work.
Yeah, that's what.
And same thing with Little Big Planet. Like, you have to do it all within this weird avatar world. This is like part computer, part. So you could use your smart glass. He showed me. He's like, so now I can drop and draw and everything. So instead of having to use, like in Little Big Planet, draw something using the cursor on the. It's very hard to put something together. On this, he's like, so we'll just draw this thing. And he was able to develop this whole 3D model within seconds using Microsoft Glass and just, or Surface is what it's called, and just build this whole thing. But the kicker was, it's free. Everything I saw, completely free. And then the point is that packages are downloadable and cost money. So you get all these like snow level, the desert and the forest, but then I'm sure there's oodles and oodles of other critters and then licensed products. Maybe you can get your Star Wars characters ported in, or
like Mod Nation Racers or even Little Big Planet. Yeah,
exactly.
Even in that sense.
You get those licensed stuff.
To listen to that, even though I don't know a lot about how the programming works, but just to have to program that just sounds like it's insane.
It's a group
of variables.
Yeah, very talented designers. They were part. It reminded me of something Apple would try to put together if they legitimately wanted to do games, because it was equal part.
They're big fans of user generated content.
Right.
Yeah,
they're equal part intense art. Like, just very clearly, very they cared a lot that it would look good. It is beautiful. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, you're like, this is something I can touch. It's tangible. It looks like an old school animated thing, but still modern and crisp and clean. And then the technology, extremely user-friendly, very intuitive, and yet complex and diverse. And the two, even at the development stage they were at E3 back in whatever that was, June, was still at a point where like, oh no, I get it. And they're just sweetening it and working on it. And it's, again, it's great to go to E3 because you find these people that are passionate about their projects, and these guys are passionate about their stuff. And, you know, to compare them to Nintendo, hiring people that know very little about their material, these guys, like, he's such a great listener. I would ask the guy, he would be in the middle of telling something, and I would just off the cuff, like, kind of ask almost a rhetorical question. He would stop mid-syllable, listen to it, and then respond to it. I was like, that, I mean, you don't often see that kind of, like, somebody being that present yeah. with it. And that's the joy about E3, is that for the most part, people are very kind to you and will give you 100% of their attention. Every now and then you'll be, I was playing a game of Lego Marvel that's coming out later this year, mm-hmm. and literally got bumped because somebody wanted to do a demo. One of the developers comes over and he's like watching me and this other random stranger kind of struggle with a part for maybe 8 seconds. He's like, so guys, is there any way I can get in here? I got to do a demo. We're like, oh, yeah, I guess we're done. walk away from that. Okay.
How did that look? I'm kind of interested in it.
That looks great. Yeah. No. It's great. You know, with a lot of the Lego games.
I'm excited because they also released a Batman Lego Universe movie.
Yes.
And my hope is that it's just Lego not the cutscenes of the video game.
No, you're talking about the Lego movie?
Yeah, the Lego Batman movie.
It's just Lego. It's a Lego movie. It's everything. So it's got Batman in it. It's got Superman.
Really?
Yeah. It's got the Ninja Turtles in it. Lego the movie. You need to look it up. I have a buddy that was the producer on it.
I think this might be different.
Oh, maybe it is.
Because they had, it was on an advertisement before a Superman movie that I saw, and they were showing
a Superman movie or the Superman movie?
No, not the, it's not Man of Steel. It was, there was an animated, which I'm so shocked that those aren't promoted more, but there's an animated Superman movie called Unbound was on a Redbox, and so I got it. And it was actually really good. Like, it's really funny that because I have boys and what I also enjoy watching, that we could, all three of us could just sit down and watch an animated Superman movie, I really enjoy them. Like, I really, even though they're B-movies and aren't major releases and Pixar didn't do it, you know, it's like, I don't know.
No, you got me. Yeah, Lego Batman, the movie.
Yeah.
It came out on May 21st. It's already out.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to look for it.
You can get it on eBay or Amazon. No, the Lego movie looks fantastic. Have you seen the trailers for that?
No, that's what I mean.
When we're done, you'll have to boot that up because it is freaking hilarious. And there's like a part where the plane is being built in the air with Lego pieces being assembled together. That's a sweet looking movie. But the Lego Marvel game, pretty great. Like, I haven't played much of the DC stuff, but it always seemed kind of flat to me. Like, mm-hmm. there wasn't a lot of depth to it.
I would agree with that.
There is a lot of depth to this game. Like, the world that you play in the beginning, you're in one of the Asgardian, like, ice chasms and something. You have to build something. And I think part of the crux of the game in the Lego games, that's what I'm trying to say, is kind of an old school, like, figure it out while mm-hmm. you're here thing. So that's why we were stalling, because we hadn't quite seen how to solve the problem. You have to build the right thing in order to move forward, and we just hadn't done that yet. But other than that, it looked great. You could fly around where it was Iron Man and just zooming around, and then the Human Torch, and then over to Wolverine, and then Captain America, and all those were just sitting there right in the beginning.
Wow.
And and then we got kicked off. But other than that, it looked great. It looked pretty great. I got to play DuckTales Remastered,
which
is coming out later this year. And it was
Woo-hoo!
Remarkable how much the game is still ingrained in my brain. Like, before that, I couldn't remember much about it. I'm like, I know I played it. I wouldn't be able to tell you. But I couldn't tell you, like, what a level was or a layout or an element to it. As soon as I started playing, just all that muscle memory kicks right back in. I'm like, oh, I remember exactly what to do with this part. I'm like, oh, there's a ghost that's going to fly down, and I duck, and I'm like, yeah, sure enough, he's still there. It just all comes flooding back.
It's like watching Natalie when I downloaded the old Super Mario Brothers on Wii U, and she just, like, clicked back, and she knew all of the secrets. Like, she essentially got all the way to the last level in 15 minutes.
Wow!
Yeah, like, but she warped. Like,
she knew how to do it.
But she remembered it, and she had easily, easily, Kevin, had been more than 20 years.
Yeah.
Easily.
It just stays
since
there.
She had picked up a controller and played a game.
It like, makes you wonder, like, could you go back to your sixth grade classroom and still sit down and know where your desk was? Probably
no,
not.
No, no
where
way.
Your pencil box was. But you did that just as much.
And it, well, that's and it, that kind of stuff always makes me laugh because it, I don't necessarily think it's such a sad reflection on society. I just think it's an interesting observation.
Yeah.
If you asked her who the Secretary of State was right now, she would be like, brr, you know. But she knows all of the warps to get through to the end. Like,
could she tell you or she has to do it to do it?
What do you mean?
Like, she couldn't tell you, I go here. It's like, I just experience. Like,
I think, I don't
know.
I'm
a robot, like a gerbil going through a maze.
That's a good question, but I think it's more gerbil going through the maze. Yeah. Like, she's gotten enough grapes to where she remembers how to get to level 8. Like, in 15 minutes.
There should be a grape right here. They've changed it. They moved the grapes. It's the grape moving people.
Fireball flowers are no more.
Where's the fireball grapes?
And then and that's funny. I bought all the, and we haven't even touched it. I bought all of the Mario Brothers that were available.
Did you get Yoshi Island 2?
No, I meant the original like trilogy, like Super Mario Brothers 2 and Super Mario Brothers 3, and because she played all those
Super
when
Mario
we were
World.
Young. I don't think
you didn't play Super Mario
one.
World. That no, was on. The
I didn't
SNS.
Play any of those. I played the Super Mario Brothers, and I think I played the Raccoon Tail one a little.
That's
bit.
That's 3.
Yeah, yeah, that's. But I just never got into those. I never, and even when I picked it up, I'm like, now I'm older. Like, I did get that with the Abe's Odyssey, even though I realized that I was much older than what I thought I was when I played. I thought I was like at 12, and I looked it up. I was like 18.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I thought I would get into it when I played it again. I'm like, now it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah. It's because it's a different mechanism that, like, beats yourself. It's like,
But I do want to get back into Ratchet & Clank. I realize that we have the Collector's Edition, and Jacob and I only finished the first game.
Get into it. What you need to play is Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault with me on the Vita, because then we can do War Zones together.
War Zones.
And they're finally doing a Ratchet & Clank that's more like the classic games. The last two games they've done, All for One and Frontal Assault, are different, playing with the universe. Although, All for One, I think, is a fantastic
game. It's a great game.
We've been playing that.
It's a great game.
What
Did
else
you ever finish that with friends? Or
no? Nobody will come over anymore.
What?
Come on over.
No.
Turn hit off. Let's go. Let's go.
Pause. Stay frosty.
No,
I mean,
delete.
Okay, bye.
Delete it. Delete this whole podcast. People wasting my time with this Ratchet & Clank to play. I want to leave here.
What if that's what we spent the last month doing? We're not just, even
what,
playing
yeah,
games?
Yeah, or we've just been recording podcasts and deleting them.
Interesting.
Because, you know, if you think about it, we're just in a room with these metal things in our faces. Yeah. How do we even know people are listening to it? This is, you know, what is time?
Whoa.
What is space?
Easy one hand clapping.
What is thought?
And we're going to solve all those questions on the next episode
of Gamerland Podcast. And then we get shut down by the government. Toy Story 2 is the most accurate representation of life.
Wow. Kevin, you said a lot of bold statements
that's
on the
it.
Show.
Listen, just
Definitely
before you find out whether or not Woody jumps over the Snake Gulch,
hey,
your show gets canceled.
Stop. Stop it now. I'm
telling you how it is.
You're going to
scare Frasier
people.
Belongs in a plastic box, and if he comes out... He's a villain.
By that you mean if he gets another sitcom where he's not Frasier?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I mean in the movie he's in the box. Here's the thing, I could easily be a crazy person. I feel like all that stuff is just wanting to
I
get
wish
out.
We had somebody who just did drops because you just gave like 80. If it was this easier for me to not only have to edit them and then I have to
what
remember
did we,
to talk in the show and then hit buttons.
What did we just have a conversation about for an hour beforehand? You can be that person. You can do it. It's just going to be a little harder.
It is.
It's going to take a little more work.
Yep.
More of your lawn will die.
That's true. No sprinklers for that part of the
you
lawn.
Can't, seriously, I had a dream about this house before we moved here. And
yeah.
And it's eerie because the more we're here, the more of it comes back to me. And when you had mentioned that you were excited to build a gate to go in so Justin's house currently now is a chain link fence that protects him from the grade school that he's not allowed to be 100 feet within.
Yeah.
And
it's awkward to have to knock on that door.
Yeah, to let him know, hey, you have to move your elementary school.
They're trying to get me out of here. It's not going to happen.
So you plan to cut the fence and then install a door on there. That was in my dream.
Really?
Like that you would have, that's why when I realized where we were, I thought, oh, that dream is not terribly accurate because you walked through your backyard into the playground. Mm-hmm. That was a whole part of the dream. And when you said, yeah, I plan to to cut a hole in this fence and walk back there.
I don't know that I can really do that, but I will try.
Why couldn't you? Who's going to stop you?
Because there's a thing called an easement on my property, which means that the city government can take, even though my property line.
Yeah. I understand. I understand the laws.
Into the school.
Yeah, I understand the laws.
Oh yeah, no, I can.
My point is, I mean, how am I out worshiping you? Who is going to look at that and be like, he can't do that?
You're right.
There's an easement.
But there are classrooms that their doors literally open. I thought this was like the back end of the school that nobody ever goes. No, there are classrooms that literally open and let kids out right into my fence.
That would be rough.
So if I could blend it in somehow, but.
But then they'd know. You'd have to make friends.
I'm sitting there eating lunch with my wife on our trying to enjoy our picnic table, and kids are saying, hi, hi.
Are you serious?
Hi. So, yeah, I got to build something where they can't see me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I thought you should put a pool back there.
I think it's going to be a BB gun.
That would keep them out. Hi. What are all these children getting welts from? Don't talk about it. Don't talk about the fence with the magical door. Only the children can see the door. See, crazy person. It's just sitting.
A few shots of tequila.
You know how on an RV, there's like the part where the guy drives the car in the cabin there?
Yeah.
And then a lot of RVs have like a bed up above the cabin. Mm-hmm. And that's like, but it's actually
like
even
Winnebago.
More. Yeah, it's even more forward than the driver. Yeah. That's where the crazy lives.
Okay. And me. The absolute like, frontal cortex.
Yeah,
in your
it's
brain.
Just like, it's just like hanging right over my eyes, just wanting to drip into the
I
rest
wonder
of
if
it.
That's why, you know, like the people have like the Neanderthal heavy ridged eyebrow.
That's why I have no hair for the first like 7 inches.
It's not your hairline is where it's supposed to be. Your head.
Yeah,
just
it's growing
forward.
Out. The crazy is just it's right there.
It just moved that hair out.
To
of
you, it's crazy. To me, it's pure thought.
I would call it eccentricity.
I call it genius. Yeah. It's also jam. Grape flavored jam.
Oh, grape is the best.
With a hint of liberty. There's another drop for your intern.
That's what I'm saying. Now we have 84 drops. Oh, stupid yard. If I didn't have a yard, I could have
go
so
dig
many
it up.
Drops in this
go
show.
Go dig it up. There's probably pirate treasure out there anyway. Oh. Just tear it up. Did you ever watch Dennis the Menace? No. That's how you get the neighbor boys to dig up your flower bed
for
you.
Oh, you tell those pirate
treasure. You draw them a map. And you tell them where to go, and then naturally they're going to do adult steps instead of child steps, and so they'll miss the mark and start digging into your petunias.
Oh, of course.
And you have to go out and be like, no, kid, and then smack them and throw them into the street. That might not have been how that episode ended.
Drop a racial slur.
Wow, you're blacker than a mailman. I don't understand why those don't air anymore. Why they don't run that classic American show of racism. So one of the cool things that they had, so the giveaways are always where it's at, right?
Yeah.
All the swag. So I got the sweet hot dog, and I was just over the moon.
Two turntables and a microphone.
Bam! They, Disney Infinity, not to be outdone,
of course,
was totally outdone, but you could do you make your own t-shirt. So t-shirts are awesome, right, at E3. Everybody wants a t-shirt.
Swag.
So, yeah, so they had a whole computer system. That you would design, you like choose a couple different images, choose a front and back and whatever, and I think you could choose what character was on this and this. And then they had a screen printing machine. Mm-hmm. It was this giant turntable thing, would spin around, and would build your t-shirt for you in real time, and then you'd be able to walk away from it. The line, I heard later, was 2 hours long.
Yikes.
For a t-shirt.
Did you do this?
No.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. Of course not. I have much better things to do with my time than wait in line for that. I did, however, go over and talk to the folks that are building the app.
I want to go back, though. Did you talk to the Horowitz guy, the Chaos?
I didn't get a chance, so by the time I was in line, and then I won, and by the time I turned around, he was already gone. Oh, he had gotten his toy and went into the.
So he had to spin the wheel, or he just
no,
walked
he didn't.
Up and said, hey,
it was
in.
Funny. What I heard him saying in his character because he was just outside of like he was talking, and then I heard him say this. He goes, "Don't they know who we think we are?" I was like, "Oh, he's waiting for his toy." I mean, it was all a joke, but
that's funny. Jacob likes to quote him now because we're on the final level of Skylanders.
Still need to beat that.
Well, we have 6 Skylanders, so
you need to. I have guys you can have. I have extra guys.
But I just, so we try, well, here's the thing. We could beat it, and then one time we were going to beat it because Jacob said it was just, he kills about 5 Skylanders.
You lose. You play it and actually lose.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I would, but so what it is that he kills 4 or 5 guys, and I get 1 or 2
yeah,
if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And so one day I go, you want dad just to try? And so he's like, sure. And then he fell asleep, and then somebody showed up that I couldn't finish. I had a fighting chance then, but
it's like a half hour.
Oh, really?
I feel like it. Maybe the first part is a half hour long. I remember it's not quick. It's several layers.
I remember being angry at the dialogue because he's like, well, I have one more thing, and then you realize that he's got another thing after that, and after you've played it as many times as I have, you realize that when he says one more thing, he's just saying another. Like,
But yeah. I'm sure they just patch the same line over and over and over again. Ugh. The second game is less, the end is less laborsome than the discotheque. I was surprised. I was like, I get that it should be challenging, but maybe the intent was to make you go out and buy more Skylanders. I don't know. Because I went through all, the first time I beat it, I went through all of them. To get a platinum on Skylanders, you have to beat that level without losing a single Skylander.
Wow.
That's one of the achievements you must unlock.
Wow.
So you could do it with one.
You have not done this?
Oh, I can't get a platinum on that game. Yeah. It's actually impossible to get a platinum on the game. For me now, you have to be strategic. So one of the things you have to do is unlock all of the quests, all of the side quests for all your Skylanders. So the way that makes sense, with one character. So the guy that makes the most sense to do that with is Flame Seeker. Used to be called Pyromancer. He's now Flame Slinger. And because he's the speed boost, which you need to do all the fast levels. But as you upgrade him, he gets a splash damage ability done to his bows and arrows. So he fires his arrow, and then it does all this additional splash fire damage. Mm-hmm. And then that makes it hard later when you can't kill all the enemies on the screen. There's one of the missions where you can only kill certain colored bad guys, but you're just a walking fireball at that point. Everything you do kills somebody. And so there's no way. I was like, oh, it's actually not possible to beat this. Because there's a point where...
Damn you, Bob!
Yeah, and your toys. You know, I feel like as an adult gamer, there's a point where I can gauge, oh, this is possible. I'm not skilled enough. Oh, this is possible. It will take me a long time to learn the skill, and this is just not possible.
Yeah, just no can do.
And this is, I'm like, oh, that is not an achievable, other than if I were a computer, like I could bet there, and there's probably some Japanese kid
like
that can
to
do
play
it,
a game?
That spends nothing but 60 hours a week, or a day, playing that game. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Math. If they keep on a plane going at the speed of light.
Or if they're in orbit around the sun.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Like Ice Station Zebra. Oh,
yeah, Ice Station. Would you like to play some Skylanders on that?
But how much time? How are we doing on this episode?
We got to wrap up about 10 minutes.
In 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I saw the Siftio cubes finally.
What?
At E3. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember because we were talking about them a long time ago. Remind me about how it works.
Okay. So
right now it made me feel I was, in my mind, I'm seeing a Lego console.
Very, very close to that. So I obviously love Skylanders because it's a video game that you get to touch, right? So Siftio cubes are 1.5-inch screens.
That's right.
That you get to interact with. And the interaction is the screen itself. So it's essentially, not essentially, it would be like taking a bunch of iPhones and making them 1-inch squares and they all interact with each other. I was over the moon about this idea before I actually saw it. And then I finally like came off the crazy wall, I think because I don't have money to blow on any idea that I just see sitting out there, because I would have dropped $300 on those cubes and they would be sitting collecting dust somewhere.
Yeah.
Just like my Skylanders. Not true.
Your Skylanders are like a decoration in your living room.
Well, now I've taken to moving them around the house. So I take like squads of them. I put them in one room. I take a squad and put it in another room.
How does your wife feel about this?
She. So the first time it happened. What's the rating on this show? The first time it happened, I came home from work and I was super tired and I had a couple of them sitting on my computer desk. And as a joke, I'm going to crash. I just need to go take a nap or whatever. And so I'm like, I'm just going to go lay down before dinner. And so I scoop up Tree Rex and I turn around. I'm like, I'm going to take this guy with me as I go lay down. And she's like, what? I'm like, well, he has to protect me. And she goes, from your wife having sex with you? I was like, yeah. And then just to prove it, like I laid down in bed and I held I held Tree Rex until I fell asleep. So he lived in the bedroom for a while after
that.
Well,
we'd take your wife to the coolest levels if she came in and like tried to make a move on you, but then would like the closer she got, the more repulsed she got.
Yeah, like, oh,
she invented some kind of pantomime force field.
Like, oh, he's like, oh, he's hot and he's sexy, he's my age. Oh, he's kind of a younger man. Oh, he's underage. Oh, he's 10. Oh, I gotta back up. And now he's like, you know, he's my age. So the Siftio cubes, they're very cool looking. The thing that turned me off from them ultimately was that the screen resolution is about a generation and a half back. Because there's like iOS and what it's capable
like
of.
A Game Boy?
Maybe, yeah, somewhere in there.
Or,
like Game Boy Color
one?
PSP. Yeah, it's probably in a PSP era of technology. Maybe just a little more pixelated. There's not a ton of pixels on the screen. If they had been like the Vita is in a tinier version of HD, then I think I would have been all over it. But I understand technologically that just wasn't possible with this edition. The traction that they're getting on the thing is from the indie developers, which makes a ton of sense. And so I got to chat with a guy. He's like, yeah, you know, we built this thing and we've been working on it. It's very exciting. But the people that are very excited to work on it are the indie gamers because it's an alternative medium. And that's how indie gamers think is making these like out of the box concepts. They're people that it isn't mainstream, you know, Red Dead Redemption or Halo, or it's like move your guy around, and blow stuff up. It's like, well, what if you built a game that does this and built a game that does that? So they had some really fun stuff. And the ones that seem to make the most sense are like these little like party games where you have to do something with the four cubes as quick as you can to get the points and then move on. Like Frobisher Says or what's that? Stupid Test that used to be popular on the iPhone
with the ducks and range them by their eye size.
Exactly. But the I think they're really great. I think they have a ton of potential, and if they could get a little stronger. Library behind them, maybe some more educational games or something. It's hard to imagine what, I guess here's what I think it needs, is that it needs some solid board games. It feels like it's the perfect bridge between gaming,
video games,
and board
games.
And if you, but they charge per block. So the set comes with, the biggest set comes with 6 for the price of 5. But you can have up to 12. And I think that if someone could come along and be like, here is an awesome board game that you could do with 12 of them, that would be really cool. And then have, you know, a few of those kind of games, that's where the thing could really...
So you get 6 for $300?
Yes.
Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah. You get 6 for 3. It's like the initial package is, I think, $200, and each individual cube is another $30. And so the 6-pack is the best value for the price of...
So for $600, you can have all of them.
Yeah, but I think it breaks down to 5 or something when you do all the math. And, you know, my dumb brain, if I got into it, I would want a full set. I would want all dozen. And I'm glad I'm holding off because I really think that if it does build up some steam and gets, I think children will love it. Like I can see like kids sitting and playing with the thing and being able to tilt and shift it and do that kind of stuff. And it'd be a good like family interaction. It's a game that, or a lot of the games on there, I think, are something that mom and dad can play with a kid together.
It's a board game for the Jetsons.
Yeah, pretty much. And I that's what I think is missing is it, like if they got Krasinski or whatever that boy, or Reiner, the big developer, the board game developer that made Labyrinth and all those. Remember Nate Fox turned us on to him a few episodes back? Like, if he came down and was like, I got a board game for you that would work on an interactive screen that has 12 tiles, I mean, I think it would really blow up. And maybe that just takes some time as some really good board game geek to come in and blow it up. That being said, still wish them the best and think it's great. They have an awesome product.
Yeah.
And if I had a 12-year-old kid, I probably would consider getting them more because they have like a cool little Ninja Turtle game in there. And
oh, really?
Yeah. It's not bad. Well, maybe I just changed your mind.
Uh-huh. It's hard because he likes Ninja Turtles, and I like that he likes Ninja Turtles.
We'll go halfsies.
No. I can't.
You buy 3, I'll buy 2.
I can't. I got $100 to put on it.
There it is. Hide that in this room. I'm going to put it on the tile that's on the floor over there.
Oh, good one. No, nobody will ever pick it.
They won't find that one.
Everybody's going to assume the walls.
Right? They'll be like,
well, there's going to be more on the ceiling. Maybe you should wait for that.
Yeah. There's a lot of options in here.
Is that everything about E3?
I'm trying to think if there was any. That was
I have
all
a couple
that
questions.
Yeah, for about E3.
Yeah,
hit me.
What what would you say is the Jar Jar Binks of E3?
Ah, yes. The Jar Jar Binks of this previous E3 is Pac-Man.
What? I'm so listening.
So I took a picture of it. I haven't put it on the Facebook. I'll put it when this episode airs. But I go out there, and I only... I got to meet Sly, by the way. I posted that on the page. Did you see that on Facebook?
No.
Okay, I'll tell that story in a moment. But the... which was incredible. But the... So I walk out there, and not in E3, not in the lobby of E3, but on the street outside of E3, there are like two, there's always a different vendor. And usually it's the Army, actually, that's out there, and it has some Army game that's popular.
This year
at the
was
time.
Namco?
This year it was Namco.
Really?
And they were doing their, they keep doing that new updated version of Pac-Man with the ghost chains and stuff. And now the new thing is that, like, you hit a thing and Dig Dug shows up and a bunch of older
cool.
school stuff shows up in there. So I was like, oh, this is fun. And Pac-Man's out there jumping around. I was like, sweet, I'll get a picture of Pac-Man. Now, you, of course, know this because we've grown up together, but those who are listening may not know that Justin and I have spent an incalculable amount of time around people dressed up in costumes,
yes, yeah.
Seeing as that we were both people dressed up in yeah. costumes. That's how I put myself through college. Plus, we knew people who dressed up in fuzzy costumes like Pac-Man. And so I have a high bar and a high understanding of this and a load of expectations of what you're going to do. So I'm like, you're Pac-Man. I mean, this is the most iconic character outside of maybe Mario and Sonic. Like, mm-hmm. right? It can't get any bigger than that. And so he's out there, and I'm like, hey, Mr. Man, can I take a picture? I think he was actually finishing a conversation with somebody outside the suit where they're talking to the mouth of Pac-Man. And he kind of shuffles and turns and just stands, like literally stands, arms at side, and just faces his body at me to let me take a picture. And I was like, without even thinking, like after I said it, I went, I can't believe that just came out of my mouth. I said, how about you give me a good one? And then he like kind of came alive and put his hands out to his side and actually like posed for it. And I was like, thanks, Mr. Man. See you later. So that was the Jar Jar
thing. Arms and legs? Boo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good call. Why isn't it just a rolling ball? A pack of ness.
His arm should be inside, and he should have black tights as legs. I would accept that.
It just like those. Let's go out to the lobby. Let's yeah. go out. And it's just a
like
dancing
the concessions.
Yeah, it's just like a hot. It's a chocolate bar with incredible legs.
A lemon,
just incredible legs.
A lemon head with sexy legs.
Yeah, just like the leg in A Christmas Story. Just like arr.
Pac-Man's got legs.
Let's go out to the lobby.
But he doesn't know how to use them.
So I met Sly Cooper.
Because they're really new.
How do I use these? Trogdor! Yeah, so I'm actually leaving the Nintendo booth, and I come around the corner, and there comes a 6-foot-high Sly Cooper in the PlayStation booth, in the PlayStation section, walking towards me, and I was like, ah, it's on Facebook. I put it on my own personal profile as well. And so I just turned to some random people that were there marveling. I was like, would you take a picture? I'm his voice. Like, I never tell anybody, especially at E3, unless it comes up in conversation, like, what do you do? But I was like, come on. That's like, that doesn't cool. happen every day. And I love the picture I got with me. And I turn up to him, I'm like, I'm your voice. And I don't know if Sly understood or not, but we took a pretty good picture. And the costume looked great.
That's awesome.
It looked pretty great. I mean, it was everything you'd expect from a Sly Cooper costume. And they had a cat from Gravity Rush walking around, too, like a girl, a face costume character, just walking around dressed up
on
as
the
that
walls
character.
Or what?
No, she. I didn't ask, but she had like a little cat with her and stuff, and it was pretty cool. And then right before that, right after I seen Kat, I went in and saw Infamous 3 and got to see Brian Fleming, who is the president over there, and we got to catch up real quick. But that game looks amazing.
Really?
Oh
this
my!
This is his
gosh.
Kid, right? Did I see? That? I saw a trailer.
They didn't really say. They just called it Second Son because you remember in the first game there were the First Sons, which was the cult of people that were trying to unlock the powers of the crystal or whatever it was. They said it in Seattle, and he's like, "We said it in Seattle because we love Seattle, but also because we really thought it could show off the technology and the story." And sure enough, like, because it's always raining in Seattle, right? So like the the reflections of the water on the cement are like out of control. You wouldn't even, only because he said that it was really good, was I able to register the amount of detail that's in it, because you take it for granted. It just becomes this like immersive world. And they did this whole combat scene, a live demo and stuff, and gosh, those Sucker Punch people are talented. Like, that, it is an incredible game.
I'm excited.
I was like, I'll put $400, double down right now. Like, I want to pick that game up. It doesn't come out till February, so I'll wait.
No, get it on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
What's your next question?
Where was Batman at E3?
Batman was most likely behind the food truck out in the lobby. He was waiting behind the chicken fryer, and he was watching. Shadows of the chicken fryer.
Those are my two questions.
You would think he would be in the rafters.
I know, that's what he would know you would think.
Yeah, you would be looking
up for
him.
And that's why he's the best detective.
And it's good, because at E3, because the LA Convention Hall, the ceiling is painted black, and so he would hide up there really well, and you'd be like, where is he?
If you were a henchman, that's exactly where you would shoot.
Meanwhile, he'd be right behind you.
Which reminds me, that's kind of my only thing with the Arkham game, the Batman games, is that it's like, we have a limited room. You think that they know Batman's around. Why is it so easy to lose him by just swooping around in the ceiling? Like,
we lost him. Like, look at the rafters.
There are three
places.
And
it's not even that dark in there. Yeah. Like, I can see perfectly.
Well, maybe that's
fine.
Us and our brightness levels too set too high.
No, it's an evenly lit room the whole way across. Because if it were dark and it were our brightness, then the areas across
the room.
Maybe
the face makeup gets in their eyes and causes them to be nearsighted.
That's probably it. Yeah. That makes a ton of sense. Next time we hang out, I'm going to tell you how I've won at life by what I have gotten my wife to do.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. That is,
that's not as provocative as it sounds,
really?
But it's better.
Because it sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah!
Another shot. Don Julio.
That's smooth.
Oh, boy. That was our show. Send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com. Also, you could send us emails at questions@gamerlandpodcast.com. The big thing, though, follow the show @GamerlandPod. Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
Yep, you got it.
Facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast. Join the conversation with us there. The big thing, though, is Facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in its own animated series. We're going to Betty White this bitch, as I like to say, and get it on the air.
I need to ask Disney Infinity to make a t-shirt that says that.
What if you spent there?
Why did you write that on there? We've already made it. I'm talking about Sly Cooper.
That's funny. So, on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is just what I'm saying.
Okay, bye.